been discussing important principle, important truth, and we've been talking about comparative values, okay? And we find comparative values by, well, let's find out from you. How do we find comparative values in the Bible? Or a value system? Pardon me? Okay. We find values by lists, but also by the order of lists. You find a list in the Bible, you think that the order is important? Or do you think it's just accidental? It's important, obviously. You believe in inspiration. You believe that a list is important. And for so we have a list. Of course, we have the Ten Commandments. And on the Ten Commandments, we have some value clarification here, don't we? Right? We have a list. Okay? So what else? How else do we get value in the Bible? What other things? How about penalties and rewards? Penalties and rewards. What penalties there are in the Bible? Talked about those, right? Actually, first seven commandments all carry with it what penalty? Death. Far different than our society, isn't it? Okay. What about rewards? Find anything out from rewards? Think you're going to get rewarded for putting a ball in a hole? Think there's going to be much reward for that? Spend your life putting a ball in a hole? What do you think?
That's what God has given you to do, yeah.
That's a good answer, but it's not a very productive life.
No.
That's not a very productive life. And that would be a good way to analyze this. Do you think that our society is all about a productive life?
No.
So there is a value system, right? There's a value system taught right there. Okay? Well, of course you have the answers now. Shouldn't have given the answers, right? Huh? All right. How about words? Well, maybe we could have descriptive words. What are descriptive words in the Bible must enter into a person's value system? Carol? Okay. Abomination. Well, that's an important descriptive word. Okay. Okay, Dave has a list.
Yes, no, not, always, never, shall be, anything, nothing, everything, put off, put on, true, false, righteousness versus wickedness, remember.
Okay. Okay, we'll get to this one. Commands. Okay. But I like always, never. Those are pretty big words, aren't they? Okay, always or never. All right, how about comparative words? Greatest commandment, right? That's a comparative word, right? That tells you, yes?
How about praises? Thus saith the Lord.
Yeah. He said, thus saith the Lord, which in a particular setting it would be. How about, there's verily, how about a repeat? How many times something is repeated? That might be pretty significant, right? All right. There's some kind of interesting commands like remember. That's a pretty good one. So you look at some of these things. We see that there's constantly a value system being taught. Okay? Constantly a value system being taught. All right. Now, let's talk about teaching value. Teaching values. I remember I had a conversation with this young preacher, and it was kind of interesting. And the emphasis of the conversation was our kids go to bed at 8 o'clock. In the context, it was, this is set in stone, okay? But as we talked spiritual subjects, whoa. What a huge contrast. I could probably go down the whole list. And he would be a relativist, okay? Music, dress, you name it. But he was, I tell you what, I just was floored by this guy. 8 o'clock, our kids are in bed. Now there's a value system. Now he really had a huge value system. And it was a church not too far from here. I just never forget the conversation. But there was a value system that said, okay, these certain things are really, really important. And these things, not important. In that case, there was physical things that were really important and spiritual things that were very relative. Okay? And what was he doing? He's revealing his value system, wasn't he? Right? And how do we set a value system in our homes? This is where we were last week. I think there's a number of things here that we could say you set values by. Okay? And obviously, we have values that, let's put it this way, spiritual, moral values. Being at the top of the list, okay? And let's talk about that. We talked about, I think we did talk about discipline, right? Okay, so we talked about the fact that there are some things that should be disciplined with great fervor and with very serious attitude and with I don't know how you want to call it appropriate discipline or punishment. Okay? Now, we talked about last week that a lot of times that there will always be discipline for disobedience, because that's always going to happen. Okay? But what about obedience to God? What about obedience to God? What about, now again, which half of the Ten Commandments is the greatest? First half. Now the second half is important. Maybe we could say this is a little bit of a overstatement, but this is where we get spiritual values. And this is where we get moral values. Okay? All right? And so how do you teach spiritual values according to the first half of the Ten Commandments? How do you, yes?
Well, it has to do with our relationship with God, so I would think.
Yes.
Devotions and Bible reading.
Okay, that's a good one. Family devotion. Family devotions teach a lot about spiritual value, don't they? Okay? When do you teach that baby, when does a mother begin to teach the baby to pray? Isn't that spiritual values? What do you think? When should a mother teach the baby to pray before they eat? You know, I think it certainly is before this, but if you have the one-year-old screaming, and you're going to give them their food so they stop screaming, you just said the physical is more important than the spiritual, right? Right? So, spiritual values. Of course, the spiritual values aren't really very important today in Christianity, are they? We talked about, last week we talked about minced oaths. What about the Lord's Day? Not much emphasis on the Lord's Day anymore, is there? Now, we won't go into the theological aspect here, but you know, today that there's a whole realm in which the Lord's Day has been dismissed. And of course, there's lots of aspects to that. Okay? But we have an expert from the past here. Do you think there's a different attitude about the Lord's Day than there was 70 years ago?
Right.
What's the difference?
Well, back then, if somebody was working on the Lord's Day, we were shocked.
Okay, if somebody was working
out in the field,
people were shocked. Yeah.
I suppose other people were.
Mm-hmm. What about Christians? What about going to church?
We always went. There were a lot of people that, I think back in our neighborhood, we were about the only ones who went.
Uh-huh.
We and my uncle and aunt.
Mm-hmm. So did Christians go to church on Sunday night?
We didn't, because church, we were Presbyterian, we didn't have any.
That's too bad.
Yeah. We didn't have any church.
Yeah.
We had what you call so-called Christian
endeavor. Yeah.
When young people went, but that was a farce.
Yeah. That was just a remnant from revival days. That's what it was. Okay, so it's been happening for a long time, hasn't it? And again, which values are the most important? Spiritual values. And yet, really, that's where, when we talk about the weakness on the second half, there's a huge weakness on the first half that is permeating our thinking. Okay? Now, if what we're saying is true, then what is a very, very important thing for a child to have a correct thinking in their mind, or to be, you know, a proper value system? It's the spiritual, right? Okay, Nancy.
Sensitive to God and His Word, then the second half would be, should be,
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, the first half is going to be the key for the second half. Okay? And, of course, we want to have a society that people don't kill each other and don't rob each other, you know. But the key of that is obviously going to be what? The first half, the spiritual. Okay? Yes, wrote. Okay, so we see a value system, okay? And I remember talking to a Catholic man here in town, owned the only farm downtown Wequonago. George is his first name. I can't think of his last name. And I used to witness to him. I wonder if he's still alive. I don't know. But used to witness to him, and one day I said to him, do you know anybody as a family that reads the Bible and prays? He says, I never heard of such a thing. I don't know anyone. He said, but even as a Catholic, he said, in every morning, they would, I don't know if they read the catechism or the Bible. I mean, they read something and they prayed. He said their family did. And yet, again, so we have the emphasis of the spiritual values, okay? And those, in the same areas, would be taught by teaching, taught by discipline. I remember... Pastor Teasdale. He was big on the Lord's Day. And one of his daughters was sick. And she was sick during the evening service. And she did the absolute... I mean, I never heard of anything that went on really in their family, you know. But then this was the max, you know. This was so over the board that it got out, okay. You know what it was? Sound of Music was on. And she watched it. And it was a Sunday night. And to watch a movie, and then secondly, to watch it on Sunday night. How many people think that way? How many people think that way? See? There's a value system that is taught in the home by what is allowed, by what it isn't allowed. You know, I don't know what kind of... I'm sure there was some discipline meted out and under that circumstance. But, so we have values. Now, so we have teaching, discipline, training... example and priorities. Okay? Those things kind of go together. Spiritual values. So, what's the priority? That's says there is a lot of confusion taught by wrong priorities, right? A lot of confusion. And it goes on both sides. So the thing that comes to my mind is just the fact that how are watching over the years what people will do instead of going to church. What people will do instead of going to church. Okay? So what would you're gonna skip church to go to a Packer game?
Pleasure and fun.
Pleasure and fun's a priority. Right? That's because spiritual isn't important, okay? What we do to skip church, yes?
Priority, I think, is probably one right on top of the list here. But another one is, you know, when I do have set my priority, that God give me the grace for consistency.
Mm-hmm.
That I may not, especially with younger people here, that one day I'm on top and the next day I'm in the valley, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so what do you think the priorities are taught by vacation? What do you think? We were going to say something, Jeff.
I was going to say you're saying priorities. You can just follow us home on a Sunday morning, and we go by the park by section school that is full of kids playing sports, whether it's soccer or baseball, almost every Sunday morning. That's their priorities is being on it. And it, Pastor, some days there'll be hundreds and hundreds of people at that park on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
There's no church in that priority at all.
Well, when did it start? Well, one of the big factors was when the NFL stopped playing on Saturday and started playing on Sunday.
Could very well be,
yeah. Yeah. Yes, Mike.
Do you know about when that was when the NFL stopped playing on Saturday?
50s.
The 50s?
Yep. You aren't that old, are you?
Oh, no. Even when I was a teenager growing up in the 70s, my dad worked at a paper mill, but even the paper mill was not operating on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
He went to church every Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, and of course, you have two sets of values being lost. One is you have Christian values, and then you have religious values. Okay. You know, old time Catholics, they went to church every Sunday, but the rest of the day was for what? Fun day, okay? And then the Christians adopted that. And now that's the priority, isn't it? Okay? So there's a value, okay? And you know, getting back to putting the ball in a hole thing, okay? It's just God is gracious, but society as a whole is messed up. Society as a whole is messed up. And here's the perspective. Should Christians be a part of the problem, or should they be a part of the solution? They should be a part of the solution. Okay? And much Christianity is just glad to fit into the status quo and enjoy it, rather than changing it. Okay? All right? So, lots of different things. I always seem to like to hit this one, priorities. Okay? We talked about, you know, what is a child taught when, okay, this kind of comes in the second one. first half is God versus pleasure, but what about duty versus pleasure in the second half? What should come first? Duty. Okay? Because duty is more important. Actually, there's a purpose for pleasure. And the purpose for pleasure is to revamp the mind and the body for duty. Our society says the great value of life is pleasure. And duty just gets in the way. Right? You agree?
No. I do not agree. It's the love of God here that takes priority overall. Duty can become a form.
Yeah, wait a minute. Wait, what does Ecclesiastes say? What is the whole duty of man? Fear God and keep His commandments. So duty is not a bad word. Duty is a good word. And it's a biblical word. God sums up life in the realm of duty.
But doesn't the love of God supersedes all?
That's a duty.
That comes from the inner heart. That's something that you want to do. Not something that you have to do.
Okay, but everything, Wally, everything is internal. Okay? But again, we're going by scriptural revelation here. Okay? We can't question people's motives. But we're talking about something that's beyond that. We're talking about revelation. Okay? And the scripture enjoins that everything is certainly done that way. Okay? But we can't get caught up in the modern thinking that love, love, love is bigger than revelation. Revelation is the actual revealer of that inner heart. Okay? So if a person, if their heart is right, what will take place? Will duty...
Man has redefined love.
Okay, if the heart is right, what will come first? What if the heart is right, the love of God, if that's right, what will come first? What will come first if the person's loving God correctly? When they are in the choice between the two, will they neglect duty for pleasure? Okay, that's what we're saying. That's the context we're saying. When the heart is right, duty will come before pleasure. Okay? But you know, outward things are revelations of inward things. And if duty is surpassed for pleasure, well, then there's a problem on the inside. We're not just talking about the outside. If pleasure comes before duty, the real problem is there's something wrong on the inside. And so you have to deal with that. And that's how the scripture reveals it. Okay? Now, we have a few more minutes. Let's talk about values in the church. How do you set values in the church? We talked last week that this conservative, I don't know, I hate to say, well, conservative is a relative term. Conservative... I don't know his first name, Moeller, Southern Baptist. And I suppose he's some kind of spokesman for the conservative movement, Southern Baptist. But we have to realize that a conservative Southern Baptist isn't a conservative. Okay? Someone who's involved in rock music and holding hands with liberals, no matter how conservative they aren't a conservative. Okay? So the terms I'm saying are relative. He said, the Southern Baptist, he's saying to his people, we're going to be in big trouble because we won't know how to handle homosexuality. And the reason he said we won't be able to handle homosexuality in our denomination is because they don't practice church discipline. Okay? So, what areas would a Southern Baptist, if family values, what areas will they not practice church discipline? Huh?
Probably moral areas.
Think they'll have church discipline if a young lady gets pregnant out of wedlock?
No.
Is it Rick Warren, Southern Baptist?
I don't know. Maybe.
So they wouldn't discipline anything.
Okay. So what else won't they? So what else won't they discipline? Is somebody in their church married an unsaved man? A girl in their church married unsaved? Would they discipline them out of the church?
No. They divorce any marriage either.
Hmm. So if they don't have discipline in their church for any other violation of the family, what are they going to do about homosexuality? Are they going to deal with it? So what they've already set the stage, I think, remember I quoted the Milwaukee Journal article a couple weeks ago? Milwaukee Journal said, why are these evangelicals protesting gay marriage? Why are they protesting gay marriage? They aren't very strong on marriage. They're not very strong on marriage. He says their success rate in marriage isn't much better than the world. Why should they tell the world about what kind of family, what is a family? Now, obviously, the whole premise is liberal and a scoffer, and that's what the journal is. But what are they? But they're making a point, aren't they? So there's a value system. Okay? Now, these things aren't always easy or fun or pleasant to deal with, okay? But, there's a practical side why churches don't have church discipline. Why is it? Everybody has seven friends. Everybody has seven friends. And so it has nothing to do about what God says. It has to do with, I like that person. He's my friend. Now, obviously, that's pretty low spiritual ebb. But what does it tell us today? It tells us that really, what is probably the main issue in churches today?
They don't preach the gospel.
Well, that kind of comes with it, but horizontal. It's the Laodicean church. It's what people think. Huh? Pragmatism, yeah. What works? But this direction is insignificant. or secondary. This should be first, and this should be second. So, okay, so we have these values. Okay, what values are taught by leadership standards? Are any values taught by leadership standards? I asked a couple of our kids in our class that had been around, I says, how many churches you been in that had leadership standards? And they said, don't know many. Should there be leadership standards?
Yeah.
Okay, this is an obvious question. But did mega church have leadership standards? Written down? Nothing. Most of them, you wouldn't even be a member. Nonetheless, someone questioned you about a multitude of other things. They would say, hey, get out of my personal business. Right? Get out of my personal business. Now, obviously, you better be into people's personal business if they're working in the nursery. And that's important, right? But obviously, there's a whole lot of other things, right? And so, leadership standards are a significant way of a value system. Okay? What if you... Now, do leadership standards make a person spiritual?
No.
But will spiritually minded people be selfless enough toward others and towards God that they would be a good example? Yeah? So you go to the bottom line. There has to be a spirit of selflessness, which is a spirit of Christ-likeness, that is willing to be an example. Okay? Now, so you teach values by what you expect. Okay? What you expect is what's not only valuable, but it's real. Okay? Now, let me ask you a question. This is a good question. Why, other than what I just said, why don't churches have leadership standards? Why don't churches have leadership standards?
Not many people would qualify.
Okay. Okay.
I know that from experience. You know, I think the book that we got about standards, about helping out with, you know, middle school children was more about legalities, you know, so that we would do something that would be a legal issue with them rather than us trying to live a way that is an example for the children.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a practical, you said it good. There's two reasons why churches don't have leadership standards. One is because they don't believe it. They don't believe anything. Okay? They really don't believe in anything. They don't take in the Bible truth and apply it to life. So it doesn't believe, they don't really believe anything. But there's another pragmatic reason. You know what?
They don't want to offend anyone.
Okay. They don't want anybody to know what they really believe, if they believe anything. They don't want anybody to know that they believe something, if they believe it. Why? Number one, because they would offend people. But the whole idea today is to make people believe like everything is fine. Everything is fine. And if you define something, then they're going to get, they're going to know that they're on their other side of the story. Okay? Yes?
Then they would also be held accountable to those rules.
They would be held accountable, which, again, that's another personal thing. Well, we don't want to be held accountable. Okay?
Pastor,
yes?
Also, so many people put the love of God above His holiness, and they don't look at God as holy.
Well, again, we get to with definitions, don't we?
Yeah.
Definitions. It's an emotional thing rather than a real biblical thing. Okay? Values are set by a Christian school. Christian school sets values. I guarantee you that's why a multitude of churches don't have Christian schools. Because now you are really forced to define what you're doing. You know, you are really forced to define what is acceptable Christian behavior. Okay? Now, personally, I don't really believe much in institutional rules. I think you have to have institutional rules. But that should not be the primary focus of a Christian school. They should be biblical principles put in a practical realm. But a Christian school is very defining. It's very defining. And it also, it's not only defines what is right and wrong, but it really defines what is valuable. Because if they don't deal with it, then it isn't what? It's not valuable. If you don't deal with it, no problem. And that's exactly what young people think, isn't it? If you don't deal with it, it's not valuable. You let it go, it's not valuable. Okay? Obviously, we can say two things. We could say preaching is significant. But preaching is always defined. How do you define preaching? How do you define it? You ever heard, what's the fellow used to be on, Southern Baptist, old guy just died 2 years ago? Adrian Rogers, ever hear him preach? Who, boy, he could preach, right? Man, he could preach. But what good did it do? Month after he died, the church became a full-blown, purpose-driven church. You know how that was possible? But because when he was preaching, most of the old people wouldn't even come to the opening of the service. They just come to hear him preach. Because the music, et cetera, et cetera. So you see, the preaching, okay, I'm going to make somebody mad probably, but, you know, CCM music or Ron Hamilton music, that would redefine our dress standard. It would redefine our dress standard. You could not have the spirit of our people with our dress standard with that kind of music. It wouldn't happen. Because there's a different message. Now I realize that one is far to the left and one is very close to good in my definition, but there's a value system here. And your values are taught multitude of ways. And it's not only that way in the home, but it's in the way in the church. And you also, we probably aren't too much into program around here, but the programs of your church say a lot of things too, right? If your church is has a lot of social programs and all about getting together, and the program isn't focusing on outreach, all of a sudden you have a value system, right? Okay, one last count and we'll close.
It just is a thought to me when we were not saved. When we listen to hard rock, there is a dress that goes with that rock and roll music. As when you go to see a classical concert at the PAC, you dress up.
Mm-hmm. Have the wholesome look. It's not possible. It's not conducive. And so does preachers. What he says is what's going to really happen. And they might have, there might be a church that had pretty good dress standards at church. But I tell you what, talk about home, it's going to be a whole different category. And a lot of those churches that have are good, but have a little bit looser music. They're just saying to their people, just wear a dress on Sunday. That's all I care about. Doesn't matter what you wear the rest of the week. And that's what's happening. Well, we got to close. Father, pray that you'd help us to think along these lines of the values and what our own values are. And may our values be molded by your word. Truth of your revelation and who you are and by what you do in our lives.